Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Modo Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Modo Casino, the only app worth your time.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino, America's social casino.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
To Duquesne, Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania. The story here begins in 1968. One day, layoffs hit the very large steel plant there, 8,000 laid off. And Western Pennsylvania would see over the next decades repeatedly the same episode of layoffs and disheartened people, leaving them out of the development of what we now know to be overseas manufacturing, overseas steelmaking, by what would eventually become a major rival, the People's Republic of China. But what about Duquesne? What about Western Pennsylvania? I welcome Selina Zito, who writes for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, the Washington Examiner, and the New York Post, who takes us to Duquesne, and a candidate for the Republican nomination in the 17th Congressional District, Jim Nelson, Pastor Jim Nelson. Selina, a very good evening to you. What does Duquesne look like today, 55 years after the steel mills left?
It looks very much the same way that its sister city, right across the river, Braddock, Pennsylvania, as your listeners know, that's the home of John Fetterman. It looks as though a bomb went off in the middle of the town and destroyed half of it, and what is left is just people who couldn't leave anymore, who didn't have the ability to get out. You know, and I think in the 1960s, Duquesne was the beating heart of the working class of America. If you wanted a city very similar to Braddock, although Duquesne sits up on the hill and Braddock is down along the river, but they both share a connection to the Monongahela River. And it was the beating heart of the working class in America. This is where immigrants came, where blacks migrated from the South. The jobs were good. The homes were modest, but neat and tidy. And people had a living wage. When the Duquesne Works, which was one of Carnegie's first steel plants, closed up in the 60s, that was a death sentence for that town because it was a one-horse town, and it's never recovered since.
We go to Duquesne today, the 17th district, because of the election in 24. The district is now held by a Democratic congressman, and it's said to be leaning Democratic. But for the candidacy of Pastor Jim Nelson, we have what looks to be a contest, depending upon how the top of the ticket goes in 24. Jim Nelson was raised in McKeesport, served in the U.S. Air Force and the Pennsylvania National Guard, spent 30 years as the Allegheny County Deputy Sheriff, Deputy Sergeant Supervisor, and following Selina's reporting, and a police officer at the University of Pittsburgh in the city of McKeesport. He holds a Ph.D. in Biblical Studies. Good heavens, and he's the pastor of the New Birth Ministries. Selina, if he didn't exist, you'd have to make him up. Good heavens. This is Western Pennsylvania. How does he see his role as a politician, given that he's now decided to run for the nomination and then to take on the Democratic Party if he's successful?
So I think what there's a common thread in everything that you just listed off in Pastor Nelson's biography, and that is service. This is a man who's definitely been called to serve, whether he served in the military, served as a police officer in multiple different roles, but also as he served as a pastor in a predominantly poor, predominantly black neighborhood. And so for him, the natural thing to do is to serve his country, continue serving his country and his community. And that is running for Congress. He got the attention of the Republican Party back last year at this time when Kevin McCarthy brought Steve Scalise and a number of Republican members of Congress when they were still in the minority, and brought them here, and they rolled out their agenda for taking back the House. And there were people in the audience asking them a question. They went to the town of Monongahela, and he stood up and asked a very powerful question that had to do with policing. And he caught everyone's attention because of how thoughtful he was. And so that is what sort of, that was the beginning of leading him to wanting to run for office.
This is Western Pennsylvania. It is a part of the state that you cannot presume it's going to go this way or that way. It changes its vote on the basis of what's good for the Keystone State and its neighboring states, Ohio, which these days leans red, and West Virginia, which has a very well-known senator and a Democratic senator, and Western Pennsylvania, that right now Mr. Fetterman and Mr. Casey are the senators representing Pennsylvania, and you have a very popular young Democratic governor. So the state would appear to be blue. However, we move now to the question of Pennsylvania in 2024. Pastor Nelson is going to run on a ticket that is opposing Mr. Bob Casey, who's very popular in my reading. You correct me, Selena, because I read from the outside. And also the top of the ticket will be determinative. And what you've discovered in a recent article at the Washington Examiner, that two-time Trump voters are hesitating. Is that the word to put down next to their who you're going to vote for? They're hesitating.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they're either hesitating or they're moving away, and some are sticking with him. We're in sort of this, we're in flux in our state. And I think the assumption that people outside of my state, my home state, both of our home states, is that Trump is inevitable in a primary here. Traditionally, Pennsylvania's primaries, in particular for Republicans, usually don't matter much. They're usually late in the game, usually late April, sometimes even May. The state legislature decides when the primary is. However, there is a bipartisan group of legislators who have proposed, and it looks like it has robust bipartisan support of moving the primary up to March, which means you're right around Super Tuesday, and Pennsylvania, which is always very, very important in a general election, now becomes even more important in a primary.
It is extremely difficult to put together an electoral college success without Pennsylvania. It can be done, but it requires a science fiction author to get it done. So let's look at a GOP committeeman from Bucks County, which is eastern Pennsylvania. Those are the collar counties where I grew up. I grew up in Montgomery. Bucks County is towards New York, a commuting county as well. Beautiful rolling hills of Pennsylvania overlooking the Delaware River. The committeeman you spoke to was Richard Temes, who has voted for Trump and defends Trump, but he has other thoughts. Please explain his thinking, if you can, Selena.
Well, it can be boiled down to something as simple as people are ready to look. People always look forward in their lives. Rarely do people look in the rearview mirror to conduct their lives, no matter what they're doing. And that goes the same for politics. And he is not interested in voting for Trump again. The only way he would vote for Trump is if he became the nominee and the choice was between him and Biden. But when the primary rolls around next March, he is robustly behind DeSantis. And what it makes that all the more important is Mr. Temes is an outspoken but also very well-respected Republican committeeman from Bucks. And what he says holds sway.
The story, however, gets more complicated because we have a history of going with the strong hand. And right now, Donald Trump appears to be nationally the strong hand. But you have some surprising poll results in Pennsylvania. Selena, this is so completely contradictory. You've got to explain.
It's as simple as this. First of all, I think pollsters don't ask the second question. Okay. The first question always is, do you support Donald Trump? Well, whether they're voting for DeSantis or not, in their head, in the way the question is asked, is like, I will always support Donald Trump. But the second question is, would you support him in a primary against Ron DeSantis? Then, the more you ask someone a question, the more you realize that the first answer isn't the definitive answer. It isn't the one they walk into the voting booth with. That's why it's important. Polls are great. They give us a snapshot. But talking to people, and more importantly, listening to people, gives you a more accurate understanding as to where their heart is. You can't get the heart to a heart with a one-dimensional question.
We also have some hesitation of people wanting their names used or not, because they are loyal to Trump, but at the same time, they intend to look at other candidates and don't want their family members, that would be especially dad or uncle, family members, to know that you're drifting. Luzerne County, do I remember correctly that that's the outside of the collar counties in eastern Pennsylvania? Rolling Hills, again, beautiful country, agrarian-based. You spoke to a couple there who did not want their names used. They've moved from New York City back to Luzerne County during the COVID. What is their thinking about their loyalty to Donald Trump, but also entertaining DeSantis?
So they were high school sweethearts. They married. They went to college. They married. They went off to the big city. COVID hit, and they're like, I am going home. But they've always been, sort of conservatives. And so they voted for Donald Trump twice, which, as you know, means not much in New York City. But now they, they're young. They're even younger than Ron DeSantis, who is 44 years old. They want to go with someone that's generationally similar to them, but still will carry out the same policies as Trump. And they're concerned that that their parents might not take it all that well. I have to wonder if their parents aren't thinking the same thing and afraid to tell their children that. In 2016, there was the phenomenon of the shy Trump voter. They wouldn't tell their family members, the people they work with, and oftentimes their friends, that they were voting for Trump. They just said, nod their head and say they were voting for Clinton. But then they went and voted for Trump. Now, many of these same voters are not afraid to say that they're voting for Trump, but they say, privately, I'm really voting for DeSantis. So it's really, really interesting. And trying to nail down the human mind and the human decision-making isn't as simple as what you find in a one-dimensional poll.
Huntington County Republican Committee Chairman Arne McClure, he ran a poll on Lincoln Day dinner during Trump's prominent place in the news because of the decision in New York about indictment. And he found, again, a mixed picture. Is everybody aware that whom you speak to that DeSantis has roots in Western Pennsylvania, or is that news to them?
No. They're definitely, these voters do their homework, right? They understand that. I think what Arne found so fascinating about the poll was Trump won the poll, but not by as much as you would think, in a county where 80% of the people voted for him on the same day that he was indicted, where it was sort of peak sympathy, anti-establishment, anti-everything that is against Trump. He said, those numbers tell me something. And it's important that people don't look at the fact that Trump won the poll. It's a straw poll. It's and it's held at a Lincoln Day dinner. However, those numbers tell me something, that Trump does not have the hold on voters in a county that it should be 100% for Trump.
Selena Zito, Washington Examiner, Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, New York Post. We go to tragedy next. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Get everything you need for your next project at Menards. Keep your gas-powered equipment running smooth with TruFuel. It's ethanol-free, ready to use, and extends the life of your equipment. Get a 110-ounce jug on sale now through June 14th. Shop our selection of TruFuel in-store and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save